Well, church, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. I'll give you just a moment to find your way there. So good. How was that? Anyone not enjoy what just happened right there? Anyone just stare? Listen, for all of you that have been staring at me wondering what in the world is going on, put yourself in my place, having to write this in and be like, and now stand still for 45 seconds. We are on an incredible journey here at Life Center over our summer months, studying the different ways of following in Jesus' footsteps. If you were with us the last 3 weeks, you would have walked with us through our generosity study. This morning, we begin a brand new study in a brand new way called solitude and silence. Does it make sense now? All right. So solitude and silence are extremely important disciplines for those who call Jesus their master, for those who call God their Lord. It is an important piece of what it is that we're called to do. But as you just experienced firsthand here at Life Center Kanata, it is so awkward to sit in silence. Why is that? Because everything in our world screams the opposite, right? For 45 seconds, I said, go ahead and turn to your Bibles, and you could have been reading the chapters, you could have been whatever it was, but you were just simply staring at me, and I could feel that beautiful awkwardness just seep into the room. I could feel some individuals literally in their minds, luckily no one said it out loud, I don't like this. I don't know what's going on, but hey, does somebody need to make sure that guy's all right up there? I could feel and sense just the awkwardness setting in the room as we have not created a culture of silence. Instead, we have created a culture of distraction. We have created a culture of a constant buzz, notifications, endless to-do lists, and the constant pull of screens. Solitude now feels radical, out of place. And silence? To sit in a room and simply be silent on your own, or heaven forbid, with a few other people, can seem so strange. It's so abnormal for us. And as we come to a gospel that encourages us to be countercultural, church, I want to just pull your attention to the practice of solitude and silence, where God has called us to be in the culture and yet not of it. Solitude and silence is actually one of the most countercultural ways that we can show people who it is that we follow. To be comfortable in our own skin, knowing that the Holy Spirit is there with us. It's a game changer. To allow silence to invade our space so that the Holy Spirit, who often whispers to us in that still, sweet, quiet voice, that encouragement to draw closer to the Father, that encouragement to turn from sin and run the other way. There are many times where the Holy Spirit will descend on us in comfort and in silence. But what happens if we are constantly overwhelmed by the noise of our life? What happens if simply sitting for 45 seconds on a Sunday morning is the weirdest thing that we've done in church in a while? Maybe you've sensed God in the last few weeks or the last few months causing you to pause. But the demands of work and family or our phones that keep us tethered to the chaos have been too great. One of the strangest things just a mere 5 years ago at the beginning of COVID was this forced slowdown that happened amongst our city. Do you remember it? Do you remember how tired you were from doing nothing? Right? Do you remember how tired you were at the very beginning of just telling your mind, today we simply can't. We're just in 1 week of lockdown. Do you remember? right? And for that 1 week, I remember reaching out and speaking to different youth and families and loved ones and just hearing the same sentiment. I am so exhausted, which was really interesting because it was the exact same sentiment that many of us were using when our lives were full and busy, but now it was coming from a different place. It was coming from the realization that we had expanded our capabilities so far because of the call that culture had on us that we had left so little margin for ourselves, for our loved ones, and especially for the Lord. The call to solitude and silence stems from our Master and our Savior. It is taught to us through Jesus. Church, do not forget, we are the first generation following Jesus with smartphones in our pockets. What this means is that we also need the first generation that establishes clear and present boundaries for who the Lord of our life truly is. As we're here this morning and going into this study of solitude and silence, I just want to just open your opportunity this morning to begin to calculate how much time you spend on your phone a week compared to how much time you spend with the Lord. Going to church counts, but isn't it so interesting that we can actually pull it up on many of our smartphones, all the different times that are spent on the different apps. Don't do it right now. It can be scary. But instead of simply scrolling past that notification, the invitation this morning is to sit in that space and to truly say, God, my life is before you. Speak to me as you will. Where is the majority of my time being spent? Is it with you? Is it with my devices? Is it focused on work? Church, we serve a jealous God in all of the best ways. Amen? When you hear and when you read in the Gospels that God is jealous for you, it has nothing to do with the pettiness that we deal with. Hallelujah. When we're talking about the jealousy that God has for you, it has nothing to do with the jealousy that you'll see portrayed in movies and that you may experience in real life. The jealousy that God has for you is that He has created you. He knows you and He loves you completely. His desire right now in this place is that you would fall head over heels in love with Him and realize that He has always been in that place with you. That's really the revelation of Jesus on the cross, isn't it? Is that before you ever knew Him, His love for you was complete. Before you ever acknowledged Him as Lord and Savior, His love for you was complete. Jesus looked down at the world and said, I will go and pay the price that they cannot pay, for they are worth it. God's only Son and His life poured out for us. In the midst of all this distraction, it is so easy to drown out the whisper of the Lord with 1,000 other voices and 1,000,000 other ads and hundreds of hours of doom scrolling. But what if the greatest threat to our faith isn't secularism or doubt or challenges from another religion, but what if the greatest threat to our faith this morning is found in our lack of practice of solitude and silence? What if the greatest threat to our faith is actually found in distraction? Church, our challenge over these next couple of weeks is to confront our lives and ask the question, God, am I meeting with you on my own? And am I making time to be silent? On January 27th, 1956, Dr. Martin Luther King sat at his kitchen table in Montgomery, Alabama, in the dead of night. The civil rights movement was young, and Dr. King was extremely under fire. Death threats had flooded in, targeting not only himself, but also his family, his wife, and his daughter. On January 27th, he had been arrested for a minor traffic violation, which was a flimsy excuse to intimidate him. Unable to sleep that night, Dr. King made a pot of coffee, sat down, and prayed aloud in the quiet. Lord, I'm trying to do what's right, but I'm weak. I'm losing courage, he confessed. In that moment, he heard an inner voice. Martin, stand up for the righteous. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice, and I will be with you, even until the end of the world. That night in solitude became a turning point, not just for Dr. King, but for an entire nation. Now imagine if Dr. King had a smartphone. What if, instead of praying, dealing with the pressure of all of these threats, dealing with the overwhelming nature of a brand new movement, what if instead of finding his place alone with God, what if instead he scrolled through social media, checked the news, or decided, you know what, this is a great time to turn on Netflix and binge watch a show? Would he have heard God's voice? Would he have even carved out the time to listen? And if he hadn't carved out the time to listen, would he have been able to find the strength to press on? This hypothetical scenario should challenge each of us today. For in our digital age, solitude is so hard to find. But it has become more essential than ever. As Cal Newport writes in the Digital Minimalism magazine, it's now possible to completely banish solitude from your life. The moment we're alone, we reach for our devices, tethering ourselves to noise. But Jesus shows us a better way. Let's read today from Luke chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. But the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Let's pray this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And God, I pray that this challenge would go out to each and every one of us, myself included. God, how easy it is to turn to these devices, to turn to distraction, to numb what it is that we're truly going through before turning to you. And so, God, I pray that today and over the next few weeks, that we here at Life Center Kanata would take this challenge seriously. God, help us to carve out personal time for you, alone with you, in your word, in nature, wherever it is that we can be silent and alone with you. God, help us to establish this essential practice that your son had, in order to truly reveal to then a world that didn't quite understand you. God, we desperately need you for a world that doesn't know you yet. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen, amen. Jesus was an incredible, incredible individual. Amen? All right, let's try that again. Jesus was an incredible individual. Amen? There we go. That's better. All right. That's like, for that amen, we will always pause and go again. All right. Jesus was an incredible individual. This was someone who people flocked to and ran to, and they heard his incredible messages, and they heard this wisdom that was not being professed anywhere. Oh, better to be poor in spirit, better to be weak, better to be without funds, better to find yourself before the Lord to truly understand who he is. And not only was he an incredible teacher, but he worked miracles. The miracles of the Lord pull out. Blind individuals came to sight. Those who had never walked before found the ability and the strength in their legs because he had come to proclaim the good news. The Messiah was here. The sacrificial system was about to come to completion, and his life would be poured out for all of those who were present and for all of those who would live for the rest of time. In the midst of this, Jesus would often be found in massive crowds.
You want to talk about celebrity culture? Jesus had it. People heard that he was coming to the city, and as he was walking, days out from cities, they would begin to gather, and they would begin to spread the word that Jesus was coming, and he would find himself in these places, and he would share these incredible words, and then eventually, as you read through Jesus' story, at some point within the ministry, at some point within the journey, he would turn to his disciples, and he would say, okay, send them away. And all the crowds would do what every crowd would do when someone was working miracles. They would say, no, we are not going anywhere. And then Jesus many times would turn to his disciples and said, get the boats. And he would get the boats and push out into the lake. He would deliver one final message. And then he would sit in the boat and they would row to the other side. Jesus craved solitude. He hungered for it. He moved in a way that many of us would seem as bewildering, especially in an age where we want to have the spotlight poured out on us. There's so many in our communities and in our city that are craving to find as many viewers that they can get, as many subscribers as they can have. How many followers can you rack up? This will determine your popularity. Jesus' life of solitude is also a challenge for many of our churches. How many churches would be comfortable with simply dismissing their crowds and their followers and rowing their boat to the other side where they would have to start again? Church, Jesus craved to be alone. To be alone with the Father. The Greek word for lonely places can be translated as desert or solitary place or the quiet place. And Jesus lived in a culture that was far quieter than ours. And yet he would intentionally slip away from the crowds, leave his disciples, and go and pray alone. As you read through the Gospel of Luke, you'll see that he often withdraws. Despite the demands, people begging for healing, clinging to him, Jesus prioritized solitude with the Father. Why? Because it was in the lonely places that he would be refilled. It was in the lonely places that he would find refreshing. It was in the lonely places that Jesus met with his Father to find clarity for what it was that he was actually supposed to do. Not all the demands that were being put on him, but clarity from the Father to what the world actually needed, to what his culture was actually craving, to be able to establish a deeper understanding of who the Father was than any of the Pharisees or any of the Sadducees or even his disciples at the time had. He would meet with his Father, he would find clarity, and he would draw strength for the mission that he had been called to. Jesus' life reveals a rhythm of retreat before return. I'm going to say that again. Jesus' life reveals a rhythm of retreat before return. He would retreat to solitude to pray and to listen, and then he would return to love and to serve and to go about his mission. Solitude and community were the twin pillars of Jesus' spiritual life, but today many of us live in an atmosphere of together, but alone. We're often with people, and yet not truly in community. Or we're alone, but we're distracted by our phones. We're drawn to solitude, and yet we're scared of it. Have you ever felt that tension? Many of us don't do this anymore, but if you have the great opportunity to head into a bank for some in-person banking, it's a wild experience. Something that I hadn't experienced in a long time since walking into those. My children don't have to deal with this because I've blessed them. But my dad used to take me banking with him all the time. I don't know why. It was like one of those father bonding moments that was definitely more for him than for me. But I remember walking into the bank, and if you know my father, you know that he can walk into any place and make friends with anyone. And the other people who were there to do their personal banking weren't aware that my father was coming in to make personal relationships with each of them. And so we would walk into the banks, and my dad would just strike up a conversation with whoever had the privilege of being in front of us in line. And whoever came in behind, ho-ho, that was the easier one, right? Because he got to turn and meet them as they came in. If you go into a bank or maybe a Service Ontario, wherever it is, and you walk into somewhere where you are queued for a line, watch what it is that you see. You'll walk in and each and every person in that line, almost without fail, 100% of people will be standing in the line, moving as the tills become available with their face in the... In Ottawa, it's difficult to drive anywhere in less than 15 to 20 minutes, but everything seems to be about 15 to 20 minutes away. This is a place where we love to find ourselves deep in podcasts or maybe listening to worship music or simply driving and listening to the radio kind of as you're really thinking more about the people around you and how in the world is traffic getting so terrible. Church, there are many times where we can be found in places of silence. There are many times where we can be found in places where the distractions are actually pushed a little bit away. But it is that place of solitude that many of us find uncomfortable. But it's a place that our Father wants us to live in. And our example in Jesus would say was extremely important to live out this life. Maybe you're an extrovert, a busy parent, or you're swamped with work thinking, solitude just isn't for me, dude. But if Jesus, the Son of God, needed it, church, how much more so do we? Solitude is actually the opposite of loneliness. Solitude is not simply finding yourself in a place where you are alone, but solitude is specifically putting yourself in a place where it's just you and the Father. Oh, come on. See, one of the best things that we can do in this practice of solitude is really begin to challenge and fight this overwhelming sense of loneliness that is pervading our culture right now. Many of our students are dealing with depression and anxiety and these overwhelming thoughts, and there's this fear that they're constantly missing out if they're not constantly tagged in and tapped into all these different devices and social media. But church, I want to encourage you that solitude actually teaches us the opposite. Solitude teaches us that when we are alone in the physical, we can truly be alive and present with God in the spiritual. It's the reminder that you are never alone, and you don't have to worry about what the world is thinking about you, because your Father, He loves you completely. He is so in love with you, and He wants to speak life over you. He wants to speak purpose over you. He wants to fill your life with strength. He wants to remind you for why it is that He called you to the earth for such a time as this. For each and every one of you are called for a reason and a purpose. God wants to bring clarity to your mission in this city. God wants to bring clarity to how it is that you're supposed to lead your family. God wants to bring clarity this morning for what it is that will heal your marriage. God wants to bring clarity this morning for how it is that you will be able to get out from under the thumb of your boss and build a true relationship, because He has called you to that place for such a time as this, for His glory and for the gospel to move forward. See, solitude is not positioning ourselves to be in a lonely place. Solitude is positioning ourselves to be alone with the Father. To be reminded that He is always with us. His desire is to draw near to us as we draw near to Him. Solitude is actually what it is that God has created for us, a discipline that He has instructed us in so that we can combat that inner emptiness that everything else in the world will try to fill you with. Richard Foster writes that solitude is inner fulfillment. It's not simply isolation or a craving to escape relationships, but it's a chosen separation meant to refine our soul. It's not mere loneliness, but it's intentional time spent with the Lord rather than all that time that we spend texting or watching TV. Solitude is saying, God, right now, right here, I just want to be with You. Ruth Haley Barton says that solitude is simply an opportunity to be ourselves with the One who created us. to be ourselves with God. It's a place free of inputs where the only voices are God's and your heart laid bare. The practice requires these two companions, silence and stillness. Silence means turning off that external noise. As you practice solitude this week, challenge, leave the music behind. Already, some people were like, I don't like it. I don't like it. No phones, just you and the Lord. Quiet the internal chatter of your worry. Quiet the internal chatter of your fear. Tell the to-do lists, not right now. Stillness is the state of then positioning yourself to listen to the Lord. Well, why does this matter, though, Pastor Mitch? Because solitude is where we can actually encounter the love of the Lord and find our true identity. In our culture, identity is something that we have to construct, that we have to piece together, whether it be through career, social media, different achievements, the raise that we get. But as Christians, our identity is received, not constructed. In solitude, we hear our Father speaking over us. I know you. I love you. You are mine. You are my beloved. We realize that in that space that we're not defined by others' opinions, and we are not defined by our failures, and we're not defined by what it is that others expect of us. Hallelujah. We are defined simply by the love of the Lord. Church, when we ask God to allow heaven to touch down right now, it's with this deep understanding. God, let me live in a space that I am constantly aware that you are present. God, let me exist in the totality of your love, because God's true love defeats everything. In Mark 1, 35 to 39, Jesus emerged from solitude saying, let us go somewhere else. That is why I have come. We gain direction in the silence and the solitude for our lives. But solitude is not easy. Hello? Our world is so noisy and we love it. The noise isn't just annoying though, it is deadly. Studies show that noise pollution causes hypertension, anxiety, and even shortens lives. Spiritually, noise drowns out the voice of the Father. Dallas Willard says that solitude and silence are the most radical disciplines of a spiritual life because they attack the sources of human-created misery. Yet we avoid them. Blaise Pascal wrote in the 1600s, all the unhappiness of men arises from one single fact: that they cannot stay quiet in their own chamber. If he saw our smartphones, he would be horrified. So this morning, let's embrace Jesus' invitation to solitude with three practical invitations. Invitation number one, solitude is a place to meet with the Father. Jesus didn't command solitude, he modeled it. When he says, come and follow me in Mark chapter 1, verses 35, it then says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You don't need a desert, but you do need to find your lonely place with the Lord, your prayer closet, your backyard, or a quiet corner at dawn. Find a distraction-free place this day, not this week, this day, where you can spend even 10 minutes alone with the Lord and listen. One of my mentors, as I was learning the practice of solitude in my own life, he revealed to me how it was that he found time alone with the Lord, especially when he was away on vacation and sitting in this place where he was really intentionally trying to refresh with the Lord. He said, no, it's so funny that even in times where you'll tell people, oh, you know, I'm just simply being alone right now. They'll still find ways to try to just, you know, get in there and let you know how much you're needed. He says, so this is what I do. I go to my prayer closet. I said, that's amazing. That's a very Christian way of speaking. What in the world does that mean? What is a prayer closet? He said, well, I didn't really have a good definition for that either. And so what I did is I named my boat prayer closet. And so when people are asking me what I'm doing, I said, I'm going to be spending the day in my prayer closet today. So they don't know that that means that I'm with the Lord as I'm fishing and studying. He says, but it allows me to be very intentional. It allows me to carve out that space where it is simply me and the Lord. And church, this is the same type of strategy. This is the same type of intention that we honestly need when it comes to solitude. Hello? I just want to ask you right now, and this isn't for a show of hands or anything. It's just look in your own life. When is the last time that you intentionally, not just every week, not just every month, but every day carved out time to be alone with God? We carve out time for Costco. We carve out time for shows. We make sure that we're on work on time. We are so intentional in so many places in our lives, and yet this is the most important and yet often the easiest to let slide. Invitation number two, solitude requires silence and stillness. So find that place where you can be alone with the Lord and then let it just be you and the Lord. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still. And know that I am God. Silence the external noise. Put your phone away. Turn off the TV. Quiet your heart. Let distractions come and go without chasing them. Over time, not only will you find that your soul settles, but you will find your soul craving this time. Time where God's voice can become clear. As a pastor, I hear from many individuals over the last 14 years of occupying this incredible calling that God has placed on my life, of seasons where people will come and say, I just haven't heard from God lately. It's been a while since God and I were close. Church, you don't need to wait to Strong Conference to have a revival in your life. Ladies in the room, I know how good Heart Conference is, not because I've been there, but because I just feel like I'm always missing out. But I want to encourage you that you don't have to wait for Heart Conference for God to come alive in your life this weekend. May Heart Conference, may Strong Conference, may our Sunday morning simply be places of celebration, of testimony, and of diving deeper into our relationship with God. But God, Jesus didn't just find himself in these moments of emotional exaltation to know that the Father was present. He intentionally carved out times of silence and stillness with the Lord. In order to find that time, it may mean that you have to be intentional with the worry and the fear and the overwhelm that goes on in your mind. Some of you, as you find yourself in that places of solitude, to truly find a place of stillness and silence, you're going to need to take a journal with you. And you're actually going to need to journal out all the things that are worrying you. You're actually going to need to journal out all the things that you have fear of. You're actually going to need to journal out all the things that you need to do. And then once you're looking at those, you can remind yourself, I can't deal with these right now. You close the journal and just be with the Lord. Just be with the Father. The third invitation is that solitude shapes your identity and calling. Church, it's in solitude where we find and encounter God's love, which frees us from the voices of the world. Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 2, verses 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. As you listen, ask the Lord, who am I in you, God? And what are my next steps that you would lead me to? As you establish the practice of solitude and stillness and silence, we will all emerge more like Jesus, with clarity and with courage. And when we look around at our world today, I think it's pretty clear that our world needs just a little bit more of Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. And Lord, we invite you into this place. Holy Spirit, challenge us in this practice, that we would be a people that would hunger to be with you. That we would hunger to be with you. And let everything else flow out of our connection to you, Holy Spirit. God, we love you and we praise you and we are honored, Lord Jesus, to incorporate the practice of solitude into our walk with you. Let us look more like your Son. In your holy name, amen. Amen, amen. Tunde, if you'll come and close us. As Tunde comes, just a little reminder to each of you that we are starting, you can come on up, Tunde, we're starting a brand new prayer practice initiated actually by our Kanata prayer team of prayer walks. And so tonight at 6:30, we're encouraging each and every one of you to go out on a prayer walk in your community, in your neighborhood, and pray solitude, pray silence, pray stillness over your friends and your loved ones and your neighbors as you begin to establish it as a part of your everyday walk with God. God bless you.